72 graduate of the college here. He'll be here today. Lemuel Thuston, Bishop Lemuel Thuston from Kansas City, a 1981 graduate, will be here next Monday. We just want you guys to really get a message from God, and just hear. You're going to hear something today that will challenge you. And as you hear it, I just want you to think, God can use you where you are. God can use you sitting in these comfortable seats. You don't have to sit outside the door. You're inside. God can still speak to you today and use you in a great way. Spencer's a friend of mine for many years. We come from the same part of the country. I'm from Sykeston, Missouri. He's from Poplar Bluff. I was a part of the Bulldogs. He was a part of the Mules. And we were fierce competitors. Now, I'm a lot older than he is, so I was graduated high school before he did. But we were fierce competitors on the football field, but we're friends now. Let's welcome Spencer Jones from Chicago, Illinois.
Thank you. Thank you for that goodness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you for that brief history. Good. Good stuff. I have, before I get started, as you know, that you're blessed with a great president. This man, one of the things that blessed me about him is passion, excitement about this school. It is wonderful. It is awesome. And that's what I like to see as I travel, watch football players, watch people from all walks of life. They're passionate about something. He loved this school. He loves what God is doing in this school. And so certainly, we just want to be a part of that. We want to partner. I have just made a commitment that I am going to renew my commitment to recruit, do everything I can to recruit students to this school, because this is the best school to prepare people for the ministry. No question about it. Why don't you give yourself a round of applause? We believe in God, believe in what's happening here for the glory of God. Amen. Before I start preaching word, I have a couple young men here that don't even know that, but I want them both to come up. They're from Chicago. God has helped us. Yes, Chicago is a great city. Hold on. God has helped us. I'll tell you a little bit about my experience here when I started preaching, but it was started 40 years ago, 41 years ago, but 40 years ago. And when I graduated in 72, went to Chicago and started working in the church that I started helping plant as a college student. And out of that church, we've started 35 churches across America, all the way from Los Angeles, California, to Jacksonville, Florida. Out of that church have come over 100 laborers that are now working for God around America for the glory of God. And so happened that we have two here today. One, I'll start with this young man. He was born and raised in Chicago, lived about a block from our church in Chicago, was led to Jesus up there in our church in Chicago. And in the last 2 years, got saved, got filled with the Holy Spirit. Last 3 years, he moved here to Springfield, and now he's going to Evangel College to teach God's Word someday. He's a businessman here now, but it's great to have him here. I wanted to give him a round of applause for the glory of God. Amen. Oh, the Lord. He's a great teacher. Then it's good to have Albert. Albert is like a son of mine. He was born and raised on the benches in our church in Chicago. His mother is a school teacher in Chicago. His father is a sergeant with the police department in Chicago. But Abbott has a unique story. He is graduated, has a degree in criminology, and now he's an evangelist. He's traveling all across America. And one day, doctor, you might like him to come and just share. But I want him to share his testimony within 2 minutes or so, because I got to preach. He has preached in him, but I want him to share his story.
As Pastor Jones said, I grew up in Southside Tabernacle. As you all will see in a few minutes, that we grew up under a man of God. And even though we made bad decisions and went astray, the Word of God was sown into our hearts. And I gave my life to the Lord in my teenage years. And I don't know if my conversion was as deep as it should have been, because I still had issues in my life that led me away from Christ. And I just went down into a life spiraling down to depths of sin that not many people go to. But just a few years ago, God really dealt with my heart. My life was just a total mess. I was on my way to jail for a really, really, really long time. And God just reached down and delivered me from so many things. I was bound by drugs, alcohol, pornography, promiscuity, everything that you can pretty much name, I was bound by. And I stand free today because of Jesus Christ and his love for me. So I thank him for that.
Hallelujah. Thank you, man. Thank you. He is a good preacher. He preaches for me on Sunday morning when I travel at least once or twice a month. stand and take the word of God. Thank you, doctor, and thank you for those that are in charge for allowing me to be here today. And turn to John, the fourth chapter, verses 34, 35, 36, and 37. And I'll read them in your hearing. John 4. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. How many of the good Lord still want us to finish his work on planet Earth? We have not finished yet. We have not come close to finishing yet. There are a lot that need to be done. He says in verse 35, say not ye that there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I send that you lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white already to harvest. Verse 36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that reapeth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. He that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Verse 37. Herein is that saying true, one soweth, another reap. Verse 38. I sent you to reap that whereupon ye bestowed no labor. Others men have labored, and ye have entered into their labors. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you're so great. We thank you, God, for Jesus that died on the cross for all of us, dear Lord. And we thank you for young people that are here today. To God, they're here because they sense the call of God on their lives. We thank you for this great school. We thank you for the lives that it's touched throughout years, God. And we thank you for the leaders there. We thank you for the administration, the teachers. Now, Lord, as I preach your word to them, I pray that, God, you'll take your word, that your word will challenge them, your word will inspire them, your word will encourage them. But I pray that your word will convict them. And I pray that, God, that you'll help me to preach your word with clarity, help me to preach it with power, and help me to preach it with authority. I ask that right now in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people says, amen. You may be seated. As you know, that I was one of the first, I was the first African-American to attend this college in 1968. But I was sitting in chapel in 1969, and a guy came down from Chicago to start a church, an urban church in Chicago, the church that I'm now pastoring, called Southside Tabernacle Church. And what he needed that summer, he needed some college students that would give that summer to help just to paint the church, clean up the church, let the community know the church is going to be starting. And by me being raised in Poplar Bluff, Missouri, I actually wasn't raised in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. I was raised in the backside of the woods. I was raised on a cotton and corn and bean farm. And you can imagine talking to me about Chicago, St. Louis, Detroit, is like talking to some of you about Chicago. It's the furthest thing from my mind. All the thing I ever heard about Chicago was bad. And so I'm sitting there with that bad perception of America, of the cities of America. It's a place that I don't want to be. I don't want to be a part of. I don't want to be associated with. And as that guy shared that day, the Holy Spirit spoke to me very vividly on and said, I want you to go to Chicago and give your summer, just your summer, working in that church. And as I wrestled with the Holy Spirit that morning, and as I began to wrestle with them, I began to give the Lord some excuses why I shouldn't go. I said, my mother would not appreciate that, order on, that kind of thing. Went through all of that, but finally I said yes to God. When I rode downtown Chicago, show you what kind of world I was from, I didn't dream that many people in the world, not only one city. And so I was just overwhelmed with fear and doubt and just a little bit of everything. And I just said, you know what, I'm going to do my tour duty, which is 3 months, and I'm going to get out of here. And so, in fact, I was so frightened that the fact during the time I was there in 69, I would only come out in the daytime, and I'd go in the house at night. I would just stay and count my days and months that I would be out of there. 1 month went by, and I said, I got 2 months to go. Another 1 month went by, and I said, I only got 1 month to go. But I had something radically happen to me August 1969 that radically changed my life forever. I was driving down I-94 Red Cross in White Sox Park in Chicago, and I was driving down a hot August day, and the pastor and I was together, and all of a sudden, I just started weeping and crying as I saw thousands of people that didn't know Jesus. I saw thousands that were bound, and I saw thousands that were spiritually blind, and I knew that I headed to light, and I knew that I was saved. I knew that I could make a difference, that if I'd commit my life to making a difference. And the pastor looked over and he asked me what was going on. I just told him that I just had an encounter with God and I just made a commitment. I committed my life to God that I was wanted to come back next year, that if he allowed me to come back. And he said, Spencer, you can come back next year, next summer. And I came back every summer thereafter. And then at the end of my graduation in May of 24 of 1972. God told me to pack my bags and move to Chicago. Well, that pastor had left. An order on a new guy was there. He didn't want me to come, but I had, at that time, I had a call of God on my life that burned, and I just said, I don't care what I've got to do. I want to go to Chicago, and I want to work, and I want to live for God. I just packed my bags, all of my stuff in my bags. I didn't have a place to live. Drove to Chicago. Then after I got there, God allowed me to stay with my aunt. 3 months after I was there, God gave me the church that I'm now pastoring called Southside Tabernacle Church for the glory of God. God has blessed us and blessed that church. So today I want to talk to you about the harvest. I want to talk to you about the harvest in America. I want to talk to you about my and your responsibility to that harvest for the glory of God. See, we live in America. We live in a great nation. And we have a responsibility to urban America. And I want to talk to you about what you and I should do regarding the harvest in America for the glory of God. First of all, we should see that harvest. And Jesus said to the disciples, behold, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white to harvest. You see, brothers and sisters, it's easy for us to sit here and not see that harvest. But I pray that you will rise in the name of Jesus and you will ask God to touch your eyes, that you may see America, that you may see the lost of the millions in America without Jesus Christ. You see, you can take a blind man and you can take him to Yellowstone Park and you can march him all around Yellowstone Park, but he will never see it because he's blind. Sad to say that Satan has blinded the eyes of many American Christians, and they are failing to see the harvest in America. They are failing to see the harvest in urban America. But I pray that you'll rise in the name of Jesus and ask the good Lord to touch your eyes, and that he will give you eyes like his, and that you will look beyond yourself. You will look beyond these walls. You will look beyond this city, and you'll see the lostness of America. When you see thousands together all around America, you will see them lost and hopeless for the glory of God. May the good Lord help us for the glory of God. Let's look at the magnitude of the harvest in America. Did you know in America live 3 million people? In America, there are 100 million Americans don't darken the door of a church at all. They have no church affiliation. Only 35% of Americans profess what you and I profess, that we're born again, that we're right with God. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, America is lost. America needs Jesus, and you and I are the hope to America for the glory of God. I pray that you'll rise in the name of Jesus and ask God to touch your eye that you may see them for the glory of God. Did you know in 1900, only 20% of us lived in the cities of America? Now over half of all America live in urban America. By the year 2046, over 80% of us will live in urban America. I tell you, America is becoming urban. America is becoming city. And it's time for the church to rise in the name of Jesus and recognize that mass harvest field and do all we can to reap that harvest field for the glory of God. Let's look at the condition of that harvest field in America. Our hospital, our jails are overrunning. Draw over there over 4 million Americans behind prison bars. There are over 1 million alcoholics in America. There are over 1 million drug addicts in America. America is in bad condition, and only Jesus can rescue America. Hallelujah. Yes, Barack Obama is my friend, but only Jesus can rise in the name of Jesus and rescue America. And I pray that you and I will open our hearts and open our eyes, and we'll see the harvest, and we will do everything we can to respond to that harvest. Every 18 seconds in America, somebody commits suicide. Every 7 seconds in America, somebody attempts to commit suicide. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, Jesus is the answer. Jesus will give people peace and joy and fulfillment and a sense of purpose in life. Let you and I rise to the name of Jesus and ask the good Lord to touch our eyes that we may see that mass harvest field in America for the glory of God. First of all, our response is to see the harvest field. Do you see that? Do you see the millions that are lost in America? May the good Lord help us to do it. Secondly, is to help us feel for the harvest field. May God give us a spirit of compassion. The Bible said when Jesus saw the multitude, in Matthew 9:36, when Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. And I pray that, brothers and sisters, that you and I will ask God to give us eyes like his, and that you and I will ask God to give us a heart like his, a heart that feels for people that are lost. for the glory of God. And I don't care where you live, if people are lost, they're in bad condition. If they're lost in urban America, if they're lost in Papa Bluff, they're lost in Saxon, that's a bad condition to be in. And I pray that you'll today thank God that I'm saved. But brothers and sisters, it touches my heart to know that millions in America are lost without Jesus Christ. And I want to do everything I can to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you will make a commitment today that you are going to do everything you can to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Over 9 times throughout Scripture, it says this of Jesus. He either had compassion or he had great compassion. Case in point, Jesus on his way out of town, Jesus on his way into the city of Nain, a woman was on her way out of town to bury her only survivor. And Jesus saw the funeral procession. And Jesus stopped that funeral procession. Somebody will say that Jesus stopped the funeral procession to show that he was the Son of God. The others will say that Jesus stopped the funeral procession to demonstrate his power. But Scripture said that Jesus stopped the confession because compassion came upon him. Compassion will move you to reach out to people. Compassion will move you to pray for people. Compassion will move you to answer the call of God. Compassion will move you to be an intercessor. I pray that you'll say to good Lord, I open up my heart, open up my spirit, and fill me with a spirit of compassion. Brothers and sisters, your student, I feel God in this place. And the Bible said the love of God is shattered abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. I feel the Holy Spirit here, and he want to fill you with a spirit of compassion that causes you to pray, that causes you to love, that causes you to want to reach out and touch people for the glory of God. Amen. Tell them all depending on how you want to count them, but I only have 2 by birth. But it was about 30 years ago that there was a lady in our church in Chicago that was a foster mother, and she kept foster kids. And one day I went to knock on her door, and because I hadn't seen her in a long time, I rung a doorbell, and she came to the door. And when she came to the door, that she opened the door, a little baby started crying, and I asked her to stop the baby from crying because I don't like to hear kids cry. And she told me she was going to entertain me and talk to me, and after that, what she would do is go over and take care of the baby and give him the bottle and get him to take care of him. I said, ma'am, you must do it now, though I'm gone. She went upstairs and got this little baby. He was only about a month old. She brought him downstairs, and she handed him to me and said, look what somebody left in the house all by himself. Now, brothers and sisters, I didn't go there to get a baby. I didn't go there looking for a baby. But when that lady told me that somebody left that baby in the house all by himself, a spirit of compassion came upon me. And I said, give me the baby. She got the diaper bag, and she got the bottle. And I took the baby home with me, and I opened the door of my house, and I laid the baby on my bed. And I asked my wife to come and see what we got. She come running upstairs, and she saw the baby. And when she saw the baby, she said, oh, no. She said, I'm praying and asking God to give us a baby. We've been married for 5 years. We have not been able to have kids. She said, I'm asking God to give me a baby by birth. You're going to have to take him out of here. I said, why don't we just let him stay here for about a week or so, and then we'll take him out of there. And guess what? After a week or so, compassion got the best of her. She said, I want the baby. I pray that God would help us to rise in the name of Jesus and dad be filled with a spirit of compassion. Well, that baby grew up in my house, grew up in my home, and as I noticed he grew up, he was could do everything. He could sing. He could play football. He could do everything. And I sat back, doctor, and I said, look what compassion got me. And God said, you haven't seen nothing yet. Wait till you get to heaven. You're going to see thousands that you prayed for. You're going to see thousands that met Jesus as a result of your ministry. You're going to see thousands, and you'll rejoice on the streets of glory forever and ever because you allowed a spirit of compassion to fill your heart, to reach out and touch people. I pray today that you arise in the name of Jesus and let a spirit of compassion to fill you, and it'll move you and it'll stir you to want to work for God for the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, today I'm talking to you about what should be you and my response to the harvest in America. What should be our response to the harvest in America? First of all, we should see it. Secondly, we should feel the people that are lost. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He's a lily of the valley. He's a bright in the morning star. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. There There's such a spirit of apathy, even in our own churches and among our own people. We don't care anymore. I saw something on television that troubled me this morning, where it's a couple guys beat up a homeless guy in Washington, D.C., and people passed by for 20 minutes without doing anything. And what caused those people to pass by for 20 minutes without reaching out, without touching? A spirit of apathy and a spirit of indifference and a spirit of coldness. And that same spirit can penetrate our church and our lives, and we can see people lost without ever praying for them. We can see people blind but needing Jesus without ever witnessing them. We can see people hopeless and need God without rising in the name of Jesus and reaching out and touching them. But I pray today that you will say, God, fill me with your heart, fill me with your spirit, fill me with a spirit that causes me to love and care about those that don't know Jesus for the glory of God. May the Lord help us. First of all, you and I should respond to the harvest by seeing it. Secondly, we should respond to the harvest with a spirit of compassion. Thirdly, we should respond to the harvest by praying for it. Let me get that little water down there. What did I? It says in Mark 1:35 of Jesus, rising a great while before day, he went unto a solitary place. I have the privilege of traveling all across America. I have the privilege of preaching in all kinds of churches, from big ones to little ones, all kinds of churches. But I'm going to tell you something that's troubling me as I cross America. And that's troubling me about the church that as I travel America, we're losing the desire, we're losing the passion to pray. And I want to tell you, if you learn, I want to encourage you to excel in academics. I want to encourage you to excel in everything you can. I want to encourage you to learn everything you can. But I want to also encourage you to learn how to pray while you're here. I want to encourage you to learn how to pray. Hallelujah. I want to say, if Jesus had to pray for the harvest, you and I got to pray. If Jesus had to pray for the anointing, you and I have to pray. If the Son of God had to pray for God's power and God's anointing, you see, Jesus had just left a healing campaign. He had just left a big campaign. But the Bible said he went out into a solitary place and there prayed. Hallelujah. Because Jesus knew that his success lay in his touch with God. Hallelujah. Without the touch of God on our life, it doesn't matter who we are and where we live and how much we have, we don't have God's power. Prayer brings God's power and God's anointing and God's touch in our life. And I want to encourage you as student to find a place every day while you're here and you get along with God and you maintain a devotion with God and you seek God so God can anoint you and prepare you and you can hear the voice of God and God can reveal his plan and purpose for your life in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. Hallelujah. 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 I remember up in Welch Hall, we used to have a prayer chapel up there, and every day and every night I'd find my place of prayer. And I know about business. I took 16 hours and I worked 25 hours while I was here. And sometimes you can get so busy and so caught up that you don't have time to get along with God. But I urge you, I plead with you, hallelujah, that while you're here preparing to reap the harvest, learn how to pray for the harvest, hallelujah. Learn how to pray, hallelujah. We need people that arise in the name of Jesus, because the Bible says, if my people who call by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, then I'll hear from heaven. The Bible said, call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. And brothers and sisters, I would encourage you to pray, hallelujah, like you've never prayed before. Because if you and I pray, God will bring the harvest in. If you and I pray, God will raise up the labor. The only prayer Christ Jesus had, he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will raise up labor. And you, brothers and sisters, we need to see more young people answer the call of God. We need to see more young people answer the call of God to preach God's word, to teach God's word, to work for God. There's so much to move towards secularism today. But I pray that you and I will start praying. Because, brothers and sisters, we are losing harvesters. Did you know every month in America, we are losing 1,700 preachers? It's time for you and I to rise in the name of Jesus and be alarmed about the situation and start praying that God will do something for the glory of God. Amen. while we're here. You know, sometime in a Bible college, what we can do is say, I'm going to wait till I graduate before I get involved in some kind of ministry. I'm going to wait till I graduate before I get involved in a Sunday school class. I'm going to wait till I graduate before I start helping people. I'm going to wait till I do this. But I thank God that I learned so much. I led so many souls to Christ while I was here as a student. I worked at Tampa Street Out Street Church. They call them out stations in those days. But I was a cook in the cafeteria here. I'd work every day. Even work on Sunday, but when I get off, on Sunday evenings, I'd go over to that church, and I would work. And I can tell you, it's important that you and I learn how to bring people to Jesus. Hallelujah. There are so many preachers that have never won nobody to Jesus, and Jesus was a soul winner. And you and I should commit ourselves to bringing people to Jesus for the glory of God. Amen. It says in verse 39, says that many of the Samaritans believed on Jesus for the sin of that one woman. What if that one woman went home and did nothing, said nothing? But the Bible said the whole city found Jesus because of the one woman. I'm going to encourage you to rise in the name of Jesus. Tell somebody else what the Lord has done in your heart and life. Hallelujah. While you're here, testify about God saving the grave. Testify about how God has answered prayer. Testify about a healing. Tell somebody outside of these walls about Jesus. The Bible said God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. It is time for us to rise in the name of Jesus and testify. Every day of my life, I tell somebody about Jesus. I'll tell a drug addict. I'll tell a gangbanger. I'll tell a principal. I led a Chicago principal to Christ just the other day. Every day of my life, I try to tell somebody about Jesus. It brings joy. It brings excitement. And it fills me with boldness. And I want to encourage you to rise in the name of Jesus while you're here, while you're a student. Learn how to bring people to Jesus. That's the greatest thing you can ever do. Nothing brings you joy. Nothing gives you excitement like bringing somebody or influencing somebody to give their life to Jesus for the glory of God. Amen. I wish I could tell you today that the harvest in America is getting smaller, but it's getting bigger. By the year 2046, there'll be 400 million Americans living in America. And the church is losing the race to reach people for Jesus. But we can get it done. 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 If you and I would ask the good Lord to open our eyes and our hearts so we can see the harvest. We can get it done. If you and I will reach out in compassion and touch people for the glory of God. And we can get it done. If you and I will raise our level of prayer. And let me just say this about prayer. Did you know the average American Christian in America pray less than 5 minutes a day? That's why we don't have any power or any anointing. That's why we're not hearing from God. But I urge you to rise in the name of Jesus and raise your level of prayer. I urge you to rise in the name of Jesus and tell people about Jesus. I urge you to rise in the name of Jesus and say, God, I need a new filling of the Holy Ghost that will cause me to teach your word and preach your word and labor for you in boldness and courage for the glory of God. Amen. Let's stand. Sisters, you may be standing there saying, I need the good Lord to touch my eyes and give me eyes like his. You are here today, you said, God, I need you to grant me a caring spirit. I need you to grant me a heart like yours. A heart that will weep over the brokenness of man. A heart that will weep over the loss of the man. It said of Jesus that he wept over Jerusalem. And I said, oh God, you may want to say, God, grant me a heart like that. A heart that really cares. A heart that's sympathetic. A heart that cares for the glory of God. You are here today and you said, oh God, help me as a student. Help me to raise my level of prayer. You you here today and you say, God, I want to work for you. I want to be used by you while I'm here at this college for the glory of God. You are here today, you said, God, I'm open wherever you want me to work, whether it's in Chicago, whether it's San Luis, whether it's San Francisco, whether it's in Papa Bluff, wherever you want me to work, I open up my heart, I open up my spirit, and you can have your way in my life for the glory of God. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage you, if you want to pray, if you want to pray around these altars, I'll lay hands on you. I'll labor in prayer with you, because I recognize 40 years ago, I sat where you sat, and I sat where you sat, and God spoke to my heart. And God want to speak to hearts alive in here today. God want to transform hearts alive. God want to give direction. God want to fill you again with a new vision, with freshness, with fire, with zeal to do God's work. I want to encourage you to come down to the altars, and I will pray. Step out of your seats and come on down to the altars, and let's pray. We thank you, dear Lord. So what are we praying for? We're praying for America. What are we praying for? We're praying that God will raise up laborers. What are we praying for? We're praying that God will use us, Father God. What are we praying for? We're praying that God will open our eyes. What are we praying for? Hallelujah. We thank you, dear Lord. Glory to God. Come on, let's just cry out to God. Hallelujah. We thank you, dear Lord. Let's pray for America. Let's pray for the move of God. Let's pray that God will use it. Hallelujah. You'll see, you might be questioning today, can God use me? Can God? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. He can use you. And we pray, hallelujah. Let's pray that God will reveal his plan, his purpose for our lives. Come on, hallelujah.